sorry that this morning I was a little bit late. That was because the whole place at Penang and Butterworth was very, very hazy. And I think because of the haziness, the ferry also was very late in coming. So I took only 7 minutes from the pier over to this place. That was a record. Anyway, it's good to be here. And I'm very happy to be here this morning for this one simple reason. That news of the work in Butterworth has filtered out to me over on the island. And it has always been good news. Very good news. So I must congratulate the committee and their assembly members who support them that came up to revive this work in Butterworth. Thank you very much, and I give God praise for all that you have done. Now, perhaps it's because of this that has led me to the study of the book of Habakkuk with all of you. This book is a very tremendous book, full of emotions, so that even as I prepare, study, I find that I was emotionally touched. And I was emotionally touched the whole of last month. Plenty of things happened. And I was asking, perhaps, like some of you who are going through some difficult circumstances, where are you, Lord? And that would be the first question that Habakkuk asked. How long are you? Where are you? You don't seem to hear us. Now, why do I say that? The last month, September, was a bad month for me. Because I kept on hearing all the bad news. At least four people. Two couples, and two other singles have left the home church. They had been with the home church for 20, 30 years. And then suddenly within 1 week, I heard a couple had left the church, another had left the church, and in order for us not to trace where they are, they won't even tell us where they go. So today, they have left the church, that's one thing we know, but we don't know where they go, because they won't tell. Then of course, as you all know, last month also was a month when many of my friends, my peers, also left, not the home church, but left for home up there. Miss Martha was the first one to go. After that, our brother Eddie Lim followed. And after that, we have got Moni Chia from Australia. She came here for internment. Then we have got Philip Kopp in Kachang. Then, just last week, Mr. Tan Tiong Ling's brother. Each one leaving for home. So I was telling someone, these were all my peers. And I'm queuing up. I do not know when I'm going. So with all these things going on, the heart is much troubled. And even as I studied Habakkuk, I asked, God seems to be very unfair. Because not only as I see these people who have loved him for so long, serving for so long in the home church, living in the home church, and then others living for home, leaving poor me behind, unfair. I'm not sure whether it's unfair or fair or not. But as my wife will say, you better be careful what you say afterwards. Well, whatever it is, another factor that has led me to this condition of thinking is because of what is going around us in our country. I thought I could say something about the condition of our country before I go into the study of Habakkuk. But then, because there's so much to study in chapter 1, I think I need to have it set aside. But if to my surprise, when I Googled to search crimes in Malaysia, wow, there's a big list coming up. Many sites were listed for crimes in Malaysia. And, you know, what we see in the country today may be actually what happened in the time of Habakkuk. Christians have been asking me, you Christians, you are cowards. Why are you leaving all the fight for justice to the other people? Why are you not opening your mouths? Why are you so silent? Why do you keep the mouth shut? Why are you not exerting your presence here? Christians, they have been very quiet. Are they right? Or are they wrong? The Bible does say this. Render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, to God which belongs to God. The Bible also says this in Romans 13, that you be subject to our government. And that advice given by Paul was given at the time when Emperor Nero was the emperor, and he was persecuting the Christians, he was martyring the Christians. And then Paul said, be subject to your government. So we look at history. There have been governments which were against Christianity, but now are no more. We take the Iron Curtain in Russia, it has been pulled down. We take the Bamboo Curtain in China, it has been pulled down. We take the Berlin Wall, which divides the country into two, it has been pulled down. Who did that? When this happened, nobody ever thought that it could happen. But it happened. And then today, in these countries, China, you see a great population of Christians. So, Habakkuk was asking this question. Lord, we see so many things that are wrong here. How can you be quiet? How can you be quiet? And God answered. And this is what we are going to study in chapter 1. Please open your Bible in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, because it's important that you know what I say. First part, we'll do chapter 1. Then next week, we shall do chapters 2 and 3. When God judges, what happens? Or why does not God judge? That is the question being asked by Habakkuk. Why does God not judge? He sees so many things that are wrong. Very quickly, let me give you the background of this. Of course, you can read the background in 2 Kings chapter 23, 34 to 24, verse 5. What is the background like? God has threatened that he will bring the Babylonians to come and invade Judah, because Judah had sinned against God. Josiah the king and his reforms, Josiah had died. And then Jehoiakim, his son, had come up with idolatry, with all sorts of things that and evil that he did, and God was not pleased. And God was bringing along an enemy to capture the people in Judah and to bring them out. And they were the Babylonians God was using. That's the background, right? First, let's look at the title of the book. The title of the book is known as a prophecy, because it has not come to pass yet. Now, Habakkuk was prophesying at the time of Jeremiah and Nahum. And both were prophesying that, look, you people, you better repent, because God is going to send the Babylonians to come and invade you very soon. Actually, it was only a year or two only when the Babylonians would come and would attack Judah. Read what it says there, verse 1. It's a burden. In the King James Version, it's an oracle. Oracle is a prophecy used in the NIV. Whatever it is, the word actually means something which is very heavy. Very heavy on Habakkuk's heart. And he was just crying out because he was very burdened with what he saw. what was passed on to him was not perhaps what he heard. He says that what he saw. So it was a revelation. A revelation, as you will see in chapter 2 and verse 3. It's a revelation, a vision of what God was speaking, telling him. Now, the questions asked would be this. Why does not God judge? Chapter 1, 2 to 4. Have a quick glance at these verses, 2 to 4. And you see the complaints of Habakkuk. Why all these things, these sins against God and against the country and against the people of Israel and so on, why is God not judging them for all their sins? Why does, and later on, God gave the answer. Why, how he would judge. And then when Habakkuk found out how God would judge, he would say, why was God so unfair to use a nation of unbelievers to judge Judah? So Habakkuk's complaints kept on coming up. Why does God not hear? Why does God not help? The answers, God gave the answer. I'm going through this very quickly to give you a general idea. After that, I'll go through verse by verse of the book. God's amazing answer in chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. Very quickly, you have a glance and you see God's appointed answer in chapter 2, which we shall study next week. But in the meanwhile, in brief, God just says this: I'm going to bring the Babylonians into Judah and invade you and take you away captive. Alright. Who was this Habakkuk? Now, his name actually, as I said earlier, meant embrace. You can look it in two angles. Either in the light of what's happening around him, he's embracing God in faith, or God is embracing him because God is protecting him from all the dangers around. Most likely, it refers to him embracing God. That in spite of all that he cannot understand, he will still embrace God and trust him for all that he is, as you will find in chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. That God is still his strength. Now, if you look at the last verse of the book, it says there, to the chief singer on my string instruments. Apparently, chapter 3 was a psalm. Although in chapter 3, verse 1, it's written down there, a prayer. But actually it's a psalm, a doxology. Habakkuk was praising God for all that he was going to do, in spite of the idea that he thought God was being unfair. See, God's answer was great. He was doing all things in his time, only that I must accept him, I must trust him in faith. And so, wonder whether he was a priest as well, because only the priest could give such instructions to the choir master in the temple, in worship. So, he was one prophet who could be. He was one priest who was called to be a prophet, as the case it was also with Jeremiah. So, to be a priest and a prophet at the same time is indeed very difficult at that time. So, Habakkuk prophesied before the Babylonian invasion 607 BC. The first invasion of Babylonians to Jerusalem was in 606 BC. Babylonian invaded or besieged Jerusalem three occasions. And the first one was 606. So a year before that, Habakkuk was already prophesying, you people in Judah, wake up, because God is going to bring judgment to you. Alright, the theme and purpose of the book. Look at Habakkuk's questions and God's answers. They come up in pairs. Violence and injustice. All around, why are they not punished? Verse 2 to verse 4. Why use a more violent and ruthless people to punish a less violent people? good or fair? Conclusion: the just shall live by faith. I cannot understand, but what I know is this: if I'm just and righteous, God will honor me, God will embrace me. The just shall live by faith. I must have faith in God. I must not doubt Him. Trust God, His person, His power, and His plan. We do not know His person. We know His person. He can do what He wants to do. He is sovereign. He has power. And He has a plan, a program. And His plan may not fit in with our plan, so that His timing and our timing may be different. But when we cry to Him and He does not answer, it does not mean that He does not hear. It means that the timing is not right. We have to wait, trust Him. And perhaps there are some of us who are going through this kind of situation in life, perhaps in sickness, perhaps in circumstances that are social, that touch on our social standing. So whatever it is, when we do not hear an answer, does not mean that God does not answer. We have to wait for His time. So, very quickly then, chapter 1 gives you that dialogue between God and Habakkuk. Chapter 2 gives you that dirge where 5 woes are pronounced upon the Babylonians who will be punishing Judah. And then finally, he burst out in the doxology. He said, God, you know best. You are doing the best that one can think of. All right. Habakkuk's theme was, the just shall live by faith. And strangely, it is quoted at least 3 times in the New Testament. For example, it's quoted in Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans was written to show the justice of God, that He was God, He was just in judging the sinners. He was just in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. Because He was just, He must send Jesus Christ to die for us, the just for the unjust. And therefore, because of this, we are justified. The just shall live by faith. It is also quoted in Galatians 3:11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that just shall live by faith. And it is referenced to a Christian's walk. And in Galatians we read, we walk not by sight, but by faith. And we need to learn this, that we need to live, to walk by faith, to live by faith. And for we see this quoted in Galatians 3:11. It's also quoted in Hebrews 10:38. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we are told, it is impossible to please God without faith. And so we read, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And the book of Hebrews is the book of faith. Chapter 11 tells us of the heroes and heroines of faith. And so we need to have faith. And you need, therefore, that these 3 books, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, they really emphasize the theme, the just shall live by faith. Romans, we are justified by faith. Galatians, walk by faith, live by faith. And Hebrews, we need to know that we cannot please God unless we show faith. So, the just shall live by faith is a very important thing that we must understand in our Christian walk and doctrine. Now, we walk through text by text, verse by verse. Let's look at chapter 1 and verse 1 now. Habakkuk's prevailing problems. His persistent cry and call for help. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Now this word cry occurs twice in that verse. How long shall I cry? The first one, the word cry, just means help, Lord, help. How long shall I cry for you to help me? The word cry in the second one is a different word. And it says that, Lord, I'm screaming to you. I'm screaming. Why are you so quiet? Perhaps the question that we ask today also, in our generation, why are Christians so quiet? Why do Christians shut their mouths? Why do Christians don't come forward and be an activist and fight for the people around in the country? Alright? So the cry came out. How long? I've been crying. David cried in Psalm 13. In fact, in the Old Testament, you find that David also cried unto the Lord. There's nothing wrong in crying unto the Lord. Yes, there is an element of doubt. Doubting God. But then, it is not denying God. Doubting God, perhaps, God is not doing what you want Him to do at that time. But God has His own plan. Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach me? David cried, Israel cried, but always tell the Lord, remember me, forget not. That will be the solution to our approach to God when we are tempted to deny God, to doubt Him. It had been unanswered for so long, and I have cried, and thou will not hear. Thus, I want to repeat, when God does not seem to answer our prayer, it does not mean that God does not answer our prayer. It means that it may not be time. It may not be time. You see, God does not work according to His plan for us individually. God also has a holistic plan, an overall plan. And our plan, His plan for you and for me, has to fit in with this holistic plan. So He cannot just answer you just for what you ask, but He needs to for you to fit in with what He plans for the whole world. And so we carry on. His persistent cry and call for help, going to on the prevailing circumstances, now He introduces the sins that bothered Him in pairs. First, you see, there's iniquity and there's grievance. Look around. Now, at that time, if you want, as I said, you can look up 2 Kings, and you would see that in Judah, there was tremendous sinning and transgression against God. There's iniquity around, injustice and grievance causing trouble. And today, if you look at our country, it's almost the same. Injustice, iniquity. You see the injustice around? Where is just even the justice in the law courts? You find that the judgments that are made, sometimes for the very same sin done by a certain people, yeah, that off. Others done by the same people, by another group of people, heavy penalties. That's a sentence on them. Then we find also that there is seems to be an unfairness, at least that's the perception, of legal judgment being out. Sometimes when people do wrong, judgment comes out immediately. When another group of people do the same wrong, judgment and punishments come out very slowly. We see injustice all around, and we cry out also, right? Grievances, and of course, because of these circumstances, the people, the citizens of the country, are very, very grieved. And we see all these things going on around us. Then, two, there is the destruction that is going on and the violence around. Can we imagine today that all those who are being persecuted, all those who are prosecuting, are being subject to tremendous violence, so that even a prosecutor going after one who is corrupt was abducted, was murdered and put into a oil drum, cemented. How cruel can man be? Do we think that our world today is so different from that time? The Babylonians were equally cruel. Well, there was violence, And there was destruction all around. No wonder in Genesis 11, God saw that there was violence and God destroyed the world. See, this is still going on up to today. Sin is sin. Destruction, violent treatment causing desolation, destruction, violence which is delicious, which goes after people and bringing harm to them. Strife and contention created among the people. Conflicts being raised among the same group of people, among different groups of people, and slurs being cast. Now we see these things going on, not only in the time of Habakkuk, but also in our time. There doesn't seem to be change. And so you see why Habakkuk cried out. His pertinent conclusion was this: therefore justice never prevails and the law is paralyzed. No point. No point. What for? Is this, as what some people are accusing some Christians in this country today, is this the attitude of Christians? What for? You cry out, also no point. You don't cry out, nothing done also. The law is paralyzed. The law cannot help in any way. That's his complaint. Huh? Remember that. The law is paralyzed. It is numbed. Therefore, justice is perverted. A person who has taken in millions of ringgit would be jailed for perhaps 1 year. And another about the same amount or even less would be jailed for 8 years. So to see the perverted justice that is going on around. And this was what was happening in... We live in times where we see this happening and we know how Habakkuk felt. Perverted. Or as the law being twisted out of shape to fit in with the person concerned because he is one authority, he can escape, others cannot. He can pocket thousands and millions and billions of ringgit, but because he is an authority, he can escape all this. Whereas another person running away with 10 ringgit will be punished and penalized. So with wicked men in power, justice was twisted and turned to become, till it became injustice. Alright, let's go on there. God's amazing answer. Now let's see how God answers now. Jerusalem will be destroyed. Judah will be captives. Okay. The people in Jerusalem and in Judah, they have committed all these things. They will be punished. I will make sure they get penalized. The coming Chaldeans in verse 5 and 6 will be cruel. The Babylonians will be brutal. These people who are coming, they are horrible people. They don't spare. They are not gracious. They are not merciful. And so we find that Judah was taken into captivity in the first invasion, 586 BC, into Babylon. Judah taken into Babylon, so far away, and they were imprisoned there for 70 years. Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been taken into Assyria. But Babylon had conquered, and now Babylon was taking Judah, the southern kingdom, into captivity for 70 years. The Babylonian invasion is coming very soon, and God will use them as his instrument of judgment. Verses 6 to 10. Verse 6. The character of the Babylonians. They are ruthless. They sweep through the whole earth. And that's how they became a world empire. I was doing the study of Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9 in Sungai Nimbol just last month. And you will see how Babylon was the first world empire, conquered Israel and took Judah out into captivity for 70 years. And then Babylon was conquered by the Medo-Persians, and the Medo-Persians were then conquered by the Greeks, and then later on by the Romans. And at every occasion, I'd like you to know this, Israel never rose up against them. But God had His way. God brought in people. God brought in another country, and they were the ones who conquered the previous kingdom. God's timing, God is able. So, we Christians in history do not rebel. They became persecuted. They were thrown into gladiators' dens. They were martyred. When they were persecuted, they ran away. And as they ran away, they spread the gospel. God had His own ways. But God will see to it that when time comes, He will punish. And so, these Babylonians, they were impetuous. They seized the dwellings, which were not their own. Now, see how God answered Habakkuk. Firstly, remember He said, the law is useless. The law is not fair. The law cannot catch up with the criminals. The law is paralyzed. God says, all right. To you, the law cannot do anything. God says, I will bring these people, the Babylonians. They are a law themselves. And they will implement what they want. You say a law, the law of the land is useless, and the law is not punishing the sinners. These people who come, they are a law to themselves, and the law that is beaten out in punishment will be fast. Why? Because their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. They don't care about other people. As long as they think what is right or what is wrong, they will start meeting out the punishment. So, verse 7, you look at it. Then his complaint again. God answers Habakkuk one by one. But let's complain. The law is slack. The law is not effective. Alright? Very slow to take effect. Look at the Babylonians. The conduct of the cavalry. Chapter 1, verse 8. Their horses are swifter than the leopards. The leopards are known to be the fastest and the most fleety animal in the world. And yet, he says, these horses of the Babylonians are faster than even the leopards. Fiercer than the wolves that come out at dusk time to prey upon the smaller animals. These are the people who are coming. Their horsemen gather headlong, or they spread themselves. In other words, they cover a wide area, and they will again attack you. They come from far. Maybe you saw the map just now. How far they will come? All the way to Judah, to take the people of Judah captive over in their land. By the way, in case you do not know, why were they sent into captivity for 70 years? 70! Prophesied in Jeremiah and confirmed by Daniel. 70 years. God says, 70 years you will be in captivity. After that, I shall free you. Why? Because for God had given an instruction to them. Every seventh year in the land must have a Sabbath. In other words, they must work the land for 6 years, and the seventh year they must give the land a rest. They call the Sabbath rest, 7 years. And apparently for 490 years they never gave the land a rest. And God said, since you are not giving the land any rest, I will take you away all these 70 years so that the land can have a rest. To God, the Sabbath is very important. Very important. When God dictates that year should be a rest year for the crops, if He means that. And it also means to us today, with application to our Sunday, that the Sunday should always be given to the Lord. serve Him, to worship Him. Because if we don't, we do not know. One day, according to His own time, as God had waited 490 years to really punish Israel for what they never did. So, they fly faster than vultures, eagles. I told you, I studied Daniel with Snannibal last month. Vultures, another name could have been eagles. And Babylonians were known as a lion with eagle's wings. A lion is fierce, and the eagle's wings, well, you have there both the king of animals, the king of creatures, and the king of birds. Combined together, that shows you the prowess of Babylon, the head of the golden statue. Let's complain. Cry out unto thee of violence. Look at what is going on. There's so much violence. Lord, what are you going to do about it? Okay. When these Babylonians come, they shall come all for violence. And they will exert violence. Chapter 1 verse 9. Their purpose, they all come bent on violence. Just to be violent. That's the whole purpose. So violence begets violence. Chapter 1 verse 9, as the NIV says. The picture is like a desert wind. And as the desert wind comes along, it will blow in tremendous force, even worse than perhaps a typhoon, and then capture all those in its path. That's what a forest wind will look like. And all those who are caught can hardly run away. They will become prisoners, gathered up in the sand. Numerous prisoners were caught in Jerusalem and all taken into captivity in Babylon. That's what happened. It all came to pass. The complaint again. Destruction and violence are before me. He said, I could see all around me. There's violence, there's destruction, things are destroyed. Okay. When the Babylonians come, they shall destroy everything in their path. Jerusalem will be razed to the ground. Everything will be burned up. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. And Nebuchadnezzar came, his army came along, and then in front of Jehoiakim, God had told Jehoiakim, do not rebel. Do not rebel, because I've sent these people come to punish. But he rebelled. He disobeyed. As a result, Nebuchadnezzar had his eyes pulled out or blinded so that he could not see. And then all this was done in front of his own sons, so that his sons could see what disobedience meant. And so we find God meeting out judgment through the Babylonians to his people. And they laugh at fortified cities. Jerusalem was well fortified. Today, if you go to Jerusalem, you will see still part of the fortified wall, the wall of Jerusalem, and where the Jews will now go, and because of that portion that is still remaining, they will cry and wail. They call it the Wailing Wall. But the rest of that wall had been destroyed completely. And the Babylonians, when they came, they destroyed that fortified wall. No escape. They will come along with their horses and with their rams, and they will capture the whole city of Jerusalem. And then, even as the Lord Jesus Christ had prophesied in Matthew 24, when these people come, not one brick will be upon another. Everything will be laid flat. He was pointing to the temple in Jerusalem. He was on the mount, looking down at the temple of Jerusalem. Very beautiful, with a golden robe and so on, dome and so on. Everything will be destroyed. No two stones will be laid upon another. And so the temple was also destroyed. Temple was also destroyed. So God gave them a warning. Don't think that God is not working when He is silent. Don't think He's not working. He is working, but He's working according to His time. The conclusion then, They are guilty, for they make their own strength their God. Ah. God will not say, why are you using the Babylonians, the unrighteous, to punish us, the righteous ones, the more righteous ones, so to speak? God says, don't worry, I'll punish them. Why? Because they made themselves God of their own. They will not acknowledge me. I shall punish them. And so he will. And that's what will happen next week when we hear how God punished them. So Habakkuk's confusion. Chapter 1, verse 7, verse 13. Lord, is this what you call justice? Using an unrighteous people to punish a so-called righteous people? Is this what you call justice? He's confused. The Lord cannot be just. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Lord, that's not justice. That's not fair. It is just not consistent with God's character. Chapter 1 verse 12. And what is God's character? Chapter 1 verse 12. Let's see what God's character is. The character of God. Chapter 1 verse 12. He is the God of the covenant. This Lord is Lord God. Lord. The word Lord is Yahweh, signifying that he is the God of the covenant. Now, God had made a covenant with Abraham, Abrahamic covenant, and with all the sons of Abraham. God had made a covenant with the Jews, that they will be a special people. God, how can you allow the Babylonians to destroy them? They cannot be destroyed because you have promised to keep them. You have made a covenant with these people. He is also the God of creation. The God, Elohim. Not Yahweh only, but Elohim. He created all things. And he created the Babylonians also. And he is bringing the Babylonians to come and punish his people because they have sinned against him. How are you going to justify that? But God is going to punish them, those who punish Israel as well, because God is just using them as an instrument. He is the God of consecration. Thou art the Holy One. Verse 12. God is holy. And because he's holy, he cannot stand sin. And that's why he has to punish his own people. And he's the God of consolidation. In other words, my God. Lord, I do not understand it. Lord, I do not comprehend what you are doing. To me it's unfair. To me it's not justified. To me it's injustice. No, I cannot understand. However, I know you have made a covenant with us. I know you have. You are your power of creation. You have all power in your hands. I know you are the rock. I will trust you. He embraces Jehovah at the end. So, the complex conduct of God. God cannot tolerate wrong. His eyes cannot look on evil and iniquity. 1 verse 13 and 14. Yet he tolerates the treacherous and the wicked. Why? Men now are like fishes in the sea and crawling things on land without a ruler. They are just moving around without any leadership. How can God allow this to happen? The conduct of the ungodly. Verses 15 and 17. As the Babylonians, they are drunk fishermen. They put out the nets and they draw in. And whatever is caught in the net, they draw in to punish. They sweep in their catch. No matter who. And a lot of people, multitudes die in that attack on Jerusalem. They sacrifice and slaughter the living creatures. They smoke the sacrifice in incense. And of course, idolatry played a lot in their whole setup. And so we find even the temple was destroyed. And the gold and everything in the temple was all taken away. Jerusalem became a disaster. God. They saved the fat using a sacrifice, even for the food. And Leviticus 3:16 says, fat is God's portion. But they do not bother. And so you find the ill treatment of the Babylonians on the people of Judah. So in the end, Habakkuk was just confused. Why are the treacherous tolerated? Why is God silent when the wicked swallow the more righteous? Are the wicked going to be spared for them to continue slaying more nations? I'm very sure that as we go through these questions, you can also use these same questions on what's going on in the country now. I'm sure you can. The conclusion: Habakkuk will keep watch. Yeah, I'll wait. It's not my time, but I'll wait. I'll wait and see what God will do. Chapter 2:1. And with this we finish. He will go to the very top, the watchtower, and he will look and see what will happen. He will watch. He will wait to see what God will say. He is indeed wise to see how God's sovereign will work itself out. And when we are puzzled, when we do not understand things, let us not doubt God. Let us not deny God. Let us trust Him. For He will work out all things well for us. So, where are you, God? Next week, we shall study when God judges, or why does God judge so unfairly when God brings in the Babylonians next week. When God seems so unfair, we'll read about God's appointed answer in Hebrews chapter 2:20, as well as when God judges, He is awesome. That's what the conclusion of Habakkuk is all about. Habakkuk's personal praise, or an adoration, as you see God working. Alright, with this we finish. Let us have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach Thee, and sometimes we acknowledge that we cannot understand what we go through, the circumstances around us. But we pray, O Lord, that You will sustain us. You will maintain us. That when things are not to our liking, we may look beyond them and live above the circumstances to have our faith, trust in Thee. Lord, hear us, we do pray. And we do pray for all others in our group, in our assembly, or in other places who are facing very difficult circumstances. Remember the Christians in various hostile countries who are going through persecutions. Lord, they are wondering too, what is happening to their God, who promises so much power and strength to overcome all this evil around, and yet it does seem that all these are being tolerated. Lord, hear us, we do pray, that in sentences when Thy children have to flee and have to run away, have to suffer so many, many things, Lord, we do pray, that will give them sustaining grace. And for us, we thank Thee, Lord, for what we are going through, which cannot compare to what they are going through. And we do pray that Thou will continue to sustain us, to help us to pray for them, so that they will continue to stand firm strongly for Thee. Hear us, Lord, we do pray, as we commit ourselves to Thee, as we commit them to Thee. We thank You that Thou art our salvation, Thou our rock, our strength, our fort in trouble. Lord, hear us, we do pray, as we give Thee thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.